There you go.
It's there you go. That's a show. That's a show.
That is a show. And a very, very nice show it was. Mr. President.
I think I needed that because I had a bad day today.
Yeah.
And I feel better now.
Well, good. I'm glad you feel better. Now I'm going to make you feel worse. When I was listening to that episode of Throwing Down.
You're going to make me feel worse. Wait, before we do this, I'm going off of YouTube. Goodbye, YouTube.
Goodbye, YouTube.
And I'm stopping recording the video. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was listening to the Throwing Down as I was mowing the yard, as aforementioned. And you said, because Joe starts the show the same way every time, kind of like we do. We start a show in a particular way. Thank you, Mel, for reminding us to turn off Zoom. Anyway, so there's a formula, and a part of that is that he gives you nicknames and, you know, the verse from the universe, the gay from the Milky Way, and it ends down to, you know, it gets smaller and smaller until it gets to, you know, smile turned upside down from Taunty Town. Anyway, you always ask if he has them written down, and then today, on today's episode, not today, but on today's, when I was listening today, you said, well, if you missed one or whatever, no one would know because there's no order to them. I'm like, yes, there's an order to them. It's from the universe, then to the Milky Way, then to the galaxy, then to the planet, right? Or the solar system, then to the planet, then to, it's like, it's,
yeah, but I don't think I meant that exactly. I didn't mean there's no order. I think what I meant is there are lots of things in between.
Yes.
Like there's atmosphere, but he doesn't say atmosphere.
The queer from the atmosphere.
There are other ones that he doesn't mention. Mm-hmm. Other layers that he doesn't mention. So I wasn't saying that his are in the wrong order.
There are
more layers to the cake.
Atmosphere has a lot of layers. There's the cirrocumulus. Stratosphere.
There are layers.
Hold on. I am aware that it's a cloud and not a layer of the atmosphere. I just don't know the names of the layers of the atmosphere. Thermosphere.
Isn't it atmosphere, thermosphere, or something, stratosphere?
No, there's stratosphere.
Mesosphere.
Yeah, that's the mezzanine. I think you're thinking of the mezzanine in the theater.
I don't know. We shouldn't give out scientific Vegas spheres.
Here's the other thing. When I'm listening to this trigger warning show, Joe numerous times, because it's a total fuck up, Adam. It's a total, like, Joey's mic cuts out and they drop off, and he'll like mid-sentence, he'll just drop off of audio and they'll have to like reconnect. And every time that happens, Joe is like, Diego, cut here, or okay, Diego, we're back, right? And I'm assuming, you know, we're supposed to believe that he has an AI agent that helps him edit the show that automatically.
What he told me he does.
Takes those out. I want to know that workflow. It's like, yeah, really?
It just reminds him.
Oh, so all he does is he gives the transcript to ChatGPT and says, you know, look for the place. Well, give me the time codes of where I told you to.
Or whatever. I don't know what he does, but he just has it remind him.
Because I was like,
when he's doing the editing,
right?
Diego can remind him the time codes that he needs to cut.
Right. But the amazing thing is, Joe, you could very easily just have it do it for you. It's like you could very easily just have it go ahead in between those points and just edit the video raw, you know, raw cut the video. Or audio, whichever you're doing, raw cut it for you. I'm doing that whole workflow with the after show. There's like, it's great. It's like, if there's a good transcript on it, it can figure out a whole bunch of shit. And
he doesn't listen to the after show.
I know he doesn't listen to the after show.
And you're talking to him. You said Joe.
I know, because I'm sure somebody will give him a link or a clip or something, or maybe I will. I don't know. I just didn't want to do, I promised that we would try to make shorter shows. And I looked over and we were already at like 58 minutes. And I'm like, well, I can't go on a big rant about that because that'll take 10 or 15 minutes. Right. So it's like, I just didn't want to add them. I was trying to.
Okay.
You know.
Our show was around an hour. So that was.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished there.
A little over an hour. Yeah. But it's all right. I'm happy with that.
I didn't know we were going to be. I thought we might struggle to get to an hour because when I looked at it earlier today, there was nothing in the list. And I was like, shit, what am I going to talk about?
Yeah.
And then I was able to think of some shit to say.
So the point was, Kathy Marshall, not necessarily that, the after show would continue, would eat up more time than the show. The point is.
Here's the thing, Kathy.
Yes.
We are getting older.
We are.
And I don't like to stay up as long as I used to like to stay up.
Yeah.
And so I've been complaining that we were going too late.
Got to take his
pills. And Daniel felt that we were shortchanging the after show because of that. I would be like, okay, I got to go to bed.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we would do really short after shows. So he's shortening the main show so that we get more time in the after show.
See?
The total amount of time is the same.
No, it's a little less. But that was the whole reason that we had to shift. We just couldn't do 3 hours anymore. But we could do two. So we're just kind of split them, an hour for the show, an hour for the after show. And, there's a little bit of pre-show stuff, right? So it works out to be more like 2.5 hours or so. But we used to go 3.5 or 4 hours. We just can't do the 3.5 and the 4 hours.
Well, it's still similarly lengthened to what it was before because we just rebalanced.
Yeah, but we were, for a long time, we were doing 2 hour
shows. Well,
And then a 45 minute or
an
hour.
And then an after show.
Yeah, after show. Which I know is a complaint from Joe Batance.
Yeah, shows that are too long. But it's just that we're old.
On my network, right before the call, we just ask if everybody has shit yet. And then we record. And as soon as we're done, we hang up and we never think about each other.
He is very efficient.
We never think about each other. We turn our backs away. we don't mention their names. We are like ChatGPT. Like, until we get fed with that context again, those people don't exist.
Well, I don't mind his method and I don't mind our method. I like both of them. And it's a little bit different because the only time, well, is you and I are best friends, but the only time that we talk is when we record.
Yeah.
And so, we just live stream our relationship.
Pretty much. Yeah.
It's what we do.
It's what we
do. And so it's different from Joe's shows. His is more of a business. And it's like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. That sort of thing. And it's okay. I know how long it's going to take me to record his show. It's always 45 minutes to an hour. And I'm done. And I'm out of there.
So I wrote this.
Fable 5 looks like a video game name. Every time I look over at the Trello and see Fable 5, I'm like, why are we talking about a video game?
They're doing a reboot of Fable. Did you read that?
I've never played Fable. No, I didn't read that, but I knew that was a video game.
So I wrote this app to track shows. So it's always been my idea that I could just scribble down in Google Keep or, in a voice memo or something when I wanted to remember, like when a movie's going to go to streaming or something. You know what I'm saying? Like I saw a trailer for a movie. Oh, I want to watch that movie, but I don't go to the theater.
A list of things you want to watch.
Right. A list of things I want to watch that way when I want to see what's on a service. So anyway, I've been toying with different versions of that for a while now, but I finally buckled down and decided on this interface, you know, running on my server, you know, because I have Tailscale now, which means that I can just always get to it from my phone. So from anywhere, I can just, you know, open up, type in a show name, type in a partial title, whatever, you know, or an actor's name, whatever, I can type it in, find it, and then, you know, basically add it into my wish list, as it were.
My memory's so bad, I need an app that's a list of the things that I'm currently watching so I don't forget one.
Oh, yeah, it does that too.
But the
thing is, you know, there's a lot of different services out there, right? So I had to decide, you know, how many, you know, in order to find active APIs out there that contain the shows and the episodes and the seasons and, you know, all that information, because I track all that, because I track it by season, because it's like, there's a lot of shows that I've seen, you know, right now I'm on season 4. So I just say, well, I've seen season 1, 2, and 3. And it shows is like, This is season 3 is available now on this service that you're on, and that's in your want to watch that's already out. And so it tracks it by season, so you know which season that you're on. I don't track it by episode, because I feel like that's, if you're watching that season, you're going to see the bar, like you'll already know where you are. And it's like, it just seems like needlessly complicated, because you have to come back at some point and go, yeah, I finished that season. Anyway,
I didn't know there were APIs available from the streaming services.
They're not from the streaming services. They're independent ones. So the one that fuels that streaming one, what's that one, the stream that I always tell people to go to, you know, to see if it streams, like where to watch?
Well, I'm a librarian, says Just Watch.
Yes, thank you, Just Watch. Yes.
And so, you're saying Just Watch has an API?
No, the people that, JP, they use the TMDB. It's the Television and Movie Database. So TMDB.org is the back end for Just Watch. But yeah, you can get an API there. You can get a free API there if you're a developer, you know, as long as you're using it for personal stuff, as long as you're not making a commercial, you can get a personal API there. And yeah, so that's what I do. Like, so now it grabs those and it pulls in all the seasons, it pulls in all the genres and all that stuff like that. So I can now tell my monthly thing to go, hey, here's the things that I like, right? Tell me, find other things like that. Like, and tell me about other things like that I can watch. And that's how I, you know, discover new things. So I think it's working wonderfully, but all of this is to say, Adam, I don't know what MGM Plus is. What is MGM Plus?
So MGM Plus is a streaming service.
Yeah, but they have apps. What do they have?
Well, I was going to say, the reason I wanted to talk about them is because there's a couple of shows that I think you might like.
Okay.
One is from the executive producers of Lost, and it's called From.
Now, I've heard of From in passing. I've never actually watched it. Hold on. Let me bring up my web program here. And then I will look for it. I think you're on port. Yeah, there you are. From. So if I just type in From. So yeah, okay. I can tell you that the mystery of a nightmarish town in middle America that traps all those who enter.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's
there are four seasons at the moment, and it's a mystery horror kind of drama, horror, drama, mystery.
So MGM Plus.
They're stuck.
There's been four episodes from 2022 to 2026. Most recent is season 4. Yeah. All right. I have added it, and now.
So there's that. There's another one called The Institute.
Institute. Okay, from 2025, The Institute. Oh, who's that guy in the middle? I recognize him from something.
The young guy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
14-year-old genius Luke Ellis is kidnapped. He awakens at the Institute, a facility full of children who all got there the same way he did and who are possessed of unusual abilities. All right, that's on MGM Plus. And,
yeah, it's, so he's a, they have, they're kids with psychic abilities. Mm-hmm. There's, I don't know if it's like part of the government or what it is, but there's like the secret.
Well, it's the Institute.
Organization.
Yeah.
That kidnaps these children.
Okay.
Then, well, I don't want to spoil too much, but it kidnaps these children and uses them. It uses their powers.
Yeah.
To take out.
I've put it on the list.
Military targets and do stuff. Well, I'm just for conversation, just okay. Giving a little bit of a summary. It's good. But anyway, there are lots of movies and TV shows on MGM Plus that I think skew sci-fi fantasy. Stargate SG-1 is on there, all the seasons.
So sad that they canceled the new Stargate reboot. They were working on. That was very sad. I really enjoyed Stargate. I enjoyed Stargate SG-1. I enjoyed Stargate Atlantis. I enjoyed Stargate Universe. I don't know why everyone panned it so badly. Excuse me.
Atlantis, I've not seen Stargate.
Really?
SG-1. I've seen Atlantis.
Okay.
And I really liked that. Yeah. But I've not seen. So I was thinking about going back in, but there are like 10 seasons.
There are. But there are, some are better than others, and they're very long seasons. They're, you know, it was in the day where you had 20 episodes or more per season until the later years. But the, it's well worth the watch. I enjoyed it. The thing you need to remember is that the first season or the first two or three seasons of Stargate was on Showtime. And Showtime was, of course, known at the time for being, we're like HBO with titties. So there's a lot of, depending on the version that you get on your streaming service, a lot of the season 1, 2, and 3 have a lot of gratuitous titty shots in them. Like there's alien women, you know, that are always topless. And, it was a recurring theme to have tittied women. Women with their titties out. But they also aired it on Sci-Fi when it got moved over to Sci-Fi, and they had alternate cuts of all of this. So all of those episodes with the tittied women's, they also have versions of that with them with tops
with
on.
No titties.
Yeah. So it's like they filmed it twice. And so there's like, you've got...
Would you say tittyless?
Yeah. So it was just weird. It's just an odd, weird artifact there. But Stargate SG-1 is great. But what happened is somewhere around season 7, the main guy, Richard Dean Anderson, had been doing MacGyver for a decade and then had been doing Stargate for another decade. And, you know, he was quite old and was ready to move on. So they kind of switched the team up, like, so he left and then they kind of switched the and earlier in the season there was Dr. Daniel Jackson had left for a season and they replaced him, and then he came back and they had to get rid of the guy that they replaced him with. But up until the point that Richard Dean Anderson leaves, it's a pretty solid show. And then after it's good, but you have to have enjoyed it. If you enjoyed it, you'll still like it. Cause it has Ben Bowder. So they replaced him with Ben Bowder. But they also bring in Claudia, what's her name? So it's kind of like rewatching episodes of Fargate.
I never watched Fargate.
Is it Fargate? What was the one with the puppet pilot? Farscape.
Farscape. No.
You never watched Farscape?
I've never watched Farscape.
It was so good. It was older. Where is it on? It is on Prime Video. Farscape. Astronaut and astrophysicist John Crichton becomes stranded on the other side of the universe when his Farscape module goes through a wormhole. Anyway, it's a really trippy kind of show. It had Muppets in it. Like it had like, you know, the premise of this show was that the ship that they were flying on was alive. Like it was half organic. And so it was alive. And there was this pilot that could control it, but it was like this weird alien with a lot of, you know, so there's, it was a Muppet, you know, it was like the a from the Henson Muppet. So it was a very complicated Muppet. And then one of the main characters was an emperor who's like a little toad dude that was also a Muppet. And it was a really cool. Now, a caveat, massive caveat. I remembered Buckaroo Banzai Adventures Across the Eighth Dimension as being a great film.
Yeah.
And would tell people of its glories. And when I convinced Auntie Scott to watch it and I rewatched it myself, it was the biggest pile of shit. So there is every possibility that I am just remembering Farscape with a rose colored glasses, and that it is in fact crap. But I remember Farscape being quite good. Now, that reminds me, you know what, Auntie Scott? I had this whole topic last week about rewatching stuff. And this article that I'd read on that, and you weren't here to. I had questions because you're one of the rewatchers that I know. You rewatch things many times. It was a fascinating paper. You should listen to last week's show. It was quite nice. Anyway, that so
the is after that, show that is
the after show was quite nice. No, that was on the main show.
Oh, on the main show.
Yeah, it was on the main show.
I can't remember. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway,
he was not anywhere.
Oh,
he was
here.
He had phased out of existence.
He had disappeared, brain dead. Beep. Although that's more heart. Like, you know, your brain, when your brain goes dead, they beep. That's your heart that they're audibly tracking. They don't audibly track your brain waves is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. That would be silly. It's visual is what I'm trying to say, Adam. It's visual. That's what I'm trying to say. Have you watched this show, this DTF St. Louis?
Yeah, I think.
It's on HBO Max.
I think I started it.
Yeah.
And then they were doing like a couple swap or something and somebody gets murdered.
It is or maybe they got murdered. Maybe that, you know, it plays off as a murder mystery, but it's so many twists and turns in it. It has Linda Cardellini, Jason Bateman, and the guy from Stranger Things. What's his name? The guy that plays Hopper on Stranger Things.
I don't know actors' names.
Anyway, just three amazing actors that do three amazing, and the investigators are also really great actors. It's so well acted. It's so well directed, and it's a very cute.
Well, I need to go back because I can't remember if I finished it.
It's a very cute show.
I can't remember if I finished it or not.
But in the show, they repeat things a lot. It's kind of like the dialogue. They just keep repeating themselves and we kind of notice that. And once you notice that, you can't unhear it. So it's kind of crazy. Anyway, I finally on Thursday were given three junior devs.
Okay.
For my team.
Yay.
Two of them are in India and one of them is here.
So do you have to have meetings now at night?
No, we were told that they are considered global employees, which means that they adjust to the time zone that their team is in.
Oh.
So I got these three kids. God, they're young.
That makes you sound old calling them kids.
Oh, you know what, Adam? I felt old. They're so young. And, you know, but we'll see. I was like, you know, I did a little meet and greet with them on Thursday because Friday today was a holiday. So we weren't open today. So, and it was just kind of like, you know, hi, you know, we're on board, you know, we've got tickets in to get you access to the systems that you need to have access to, you know, but I just wanted to say hi and like kind of just give you an overview of what we're doing and give you a chance to ask some questions and all that stuff. And then it's like, and then I'm thinking about it after the, you know, I mean, it felt like it went all right and, you know, everything was okay. And then afterwards I'm like, God, what would I have thought at that age? Like, you know, here's this gray haired dude. Like, you know,
well, you're their manager, right?
I'm the team lead. I mean, I'm the technical lead. So I'm their dev academy kids. They're like, kind of like interns, but so it's okay. Like, I'm not really their manager. They report up the chain, but they're on loan to us for, you know, 6 weeks or something. I don't know. It was just such a weird.
So when you say, what do they think? Like, yeah. Of course they're going to expect you to be older because you're in a leadership position.
Yeah, I know. But you got to remember, devs are, you know, they're a competitive group. And it's a very common thing to, you know, like, he's an idiot. It's like, and through the years, management of devs have very rarely been devs themselves. So you just kind of immediately, you're kind of geared, you're kind of primed to look at older guys as just like, you know, like, oh, they're just a manager. They're just, you know, they're not. So I just worry that I didn't like, you know, explain. It's like, no, I'm on the team. Like, I'm not, you know, we're doing
well,
this
you have
together.
More time with them. You can still explain that.
I know. We'll see.
It will become obvious anyway.
Yeah, it will. It will.
As you deliver code or whatever.
Yeah. But, so finally we get to start and I'm just having these lingering fears because I've basically said like, yeah, we can do this. And I don't actually know that we can. I mean,
you got to put your money where your mouth is.
It's like, I feel like, yeah, this can be done.
Well, isn't that always the way things are?
Yeah.
You always just say, here's a thing that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And it's always a guess.
Yeah.
How long it's going to take.
Yeah.
How many people it's going to take. It's always a guess.
Oh, no, but so, in this case,
you
know,
you just adjust if.
Okay. But in this case, I'm literally guessing that we can even do the thing that we are supposed to be doing. So, you know, it's a weird situation where there are charges that are generated by systems in a doctor's office. Let's say like, you know, lab charges or some kind of x-ray machine or some kind of, you know, and it has a system in it where it generates its own charges. To be posted, right? So it exports out. It exports out like codes and stuff and times and places. It basically says, "Hey, here, these are charges that need to be entered into the system to bill the insurance company for." And what happens because we have a department that pays, you know, that does the billing for our clients. That's like an optional service they can do. So in this particular case, these people that do the billing for, you know, our employees that do the billing, when they run into these situations, they take these electronic spreadsheets of charges and bring them up on the screen and then manually sit there and enter the charges into our EHR of the client. So I'm like, well, we have auto charge stuff built into the application if the charges are in an HL7 format. So the thing that I'm gambling on here is, yeah, I can take charges from some other system and essentially turn them into properly formed HL7 so that the existing auto pay systems in the EHRs can do it, right? So
where does the AI come in there? Because isn't this a team that's supposed to be speeding up AI within the company or something?
Absolutely. Well, speeding up processes in the company by using AI. Now, I don't know what the managers, you know, or what the people above me thought when they started this, but for to improve most processes, you don't need to embed AI. There's very few use cases to actually embed AI, right?
That's where that's why I'm saying I don't hear an AI element.
Most of the thing, no, what they want to do is they want to cut headcount. They want to reduce headcount in the call center, right? And in these very time consuming thing. Like they have a lot of agents, but because they have to manually do all these charges, it takes more agents to do all these things that if we can speed that up, then they don't have to have as many agents, right? So to them, this is all just a cost thing of, you know, reducing. But the irony of it is, Adam, that these aren't.
But are you sticking some AI in there just so you can say?
No, I'm not. But AI is writing it. So that's the shift, right? The shift is, we're a team of four and we're not going to take 8 weeks to write a system that does this. We're going to do it in 3 days. Like we're literally like we're moving at AI speed coding wise.
So this is one project. So you're going to have many more projects. You're going to do this one. It'll take you, you know, a week or two. You're going to then move on to another one.
Yeah,
solving another problem.
We have identified 5 projects that we have going. And we have 4 weeks to complete them. And I believe there's additional projects that we could probably take on, because I feel like if things go well, then we can, but I don't know. I don't know if it's imposter syndrome or just general nervousness or whatever, but there's a piece of me that's just like, wait, what if this just can't be done? What if and I keep thinking, it's like, but I know we have tools that will post from a spreadsheet, right? Like we have tools that will build demo data sets like by posting from a spreadsheet. And we use that to test things. So it's like, so I know that there's hooks that I can tie into to post a charge, right? Like I don't have to do an RPA thing where I have to like mimic the you know, the user's keystrokes to go and, you know, post a charge, right? Or something like that. Although we could, right? We could absolutely, as a last resort, we could do RPA, right? To post the charges, you know, an intelligent macro. And maybe then AI might have some piece of active AI may have some piece of work there to monitor itself, but probably not. I'm hoping that, you know, there's already a system that exists that does auto charge posting, right, from an electronic file. We're just going to move everything into that file format where, like, we'll go find the missing data and everything. We will have to use AI to, you know, figure out the format that the thing is in, like what we can get from that, you know, to detangle whatever the JSON or whatever. So we will be using AI to read that. And because that's PHI, we can't actually use Claude or Codex for that piece. So in that piece, we have to use Amazon Bedrock because it's HIPAA compliant so I have to have a model, and it can be a GPT model over there. It's just Amazon Bedrock is just an open, you know, they have everybody's models. So more than likely I'll probably use Gemini Flash or something like that over on Amazon Bedrock to essentially detangle the file structure and write that piece and then go back to Codex and have it write around it. So, but that'll be fun to try to explain to these kids, like, don't shove PHI in a request. It's like, if you have to do it over here in this stupid system because reasons, right? Because stupid reasons. But there you go. That's been my day. I've had the most tediously boring week. In order for me to get access to use Amazon Bedrock, the head of cybersecurity insisted that we go through the approval process, like with submit the business case for it, send the everything and go through approval that way. So we did that. We like pivoted and like, you know, took it did our present, you know, put together a presentation, took it to the, to that meeting and got, you know, now keep in mind, the sponsor of our department is the CFO. Like we're, you know, in his mind, in the CFO's mind, we are the second most important project at the company. Like there's our primary healthcare product that we're working on right now. And then there's this cost reduction initiative. Like it is, you know, short term, but it's very important. So if there's any roadblocks, you know, tell me, I'm there to clear them, you know, whatever it takes. So, this cybersecurity wonk dude, I don't know him, but he's, I don't know. Yeah, I've never actually talked to him, right, one-on-one, but I've heard him talk before, and he's a very, I don't know, just he's very classic cybersecurity, right? There's someone's going to jump out from any, you know, every corner of the room at any point in time. But his whole hot-button issue is authentication. Like, he wants to make sure, you know, he shepherded us to high trust status. But it all has to do with, you know, authentication and audit logging and, you know, stuff like that. So he's demanding to know what our, you know, retention policies are, what our, you know, those kind of, and I'm like, there is no retention. That's the entire reason for using Amazon Bedrock, right? There's a non-retention, non-training policy with Amazon Bedrock. That's in our BAA. That's why they have a compliant. So there is no retention. Like, you know, it's like, well, where are you logging and everything? The existing systems that they're going out of logs that. Like, this is not, you know, like, we're not at, all we're doing is we're mimicking a user going to a chat box and saying, hey, here's this question, here's some data, give me an answer, right? And then they're copying and pasting that answer somewhere else. All we're doing is just automating that process, right? It's like, so we're not generating new artifacts, you know, we're just moving things, we're doing the things that,
yeah.
So it's like, I don't know what you want, right? So then we had to go through several different iterations of, you know, diagramming out how we were doing it. And it just got more and more into the actual design of the automation, as opposed to just this one piece that they're supposed to be approving. So, you know, I was trying very hard to go like, okay, but that's not your concern. What that is doing is not, that is not in question here, right? That's not a PHI thing. So just, you know, ignore that. I'm not asking about that. I'm asking about this. It's like, well, we need to know. And it's just, you know, so eventually there was like a whole brouhaha, and my boss, I guess, finally came out of nowhere with the, you know, like, hey, this is going to get done. So just make it happen right now. And I'm not going to hear anything more about it, you know, kind of a thing in one of those chats. And then the next message was like, cybersecurity approves. And it was just like, okay, well, good. I don't know what you said to him, but, you know. Good.
So are you sure that API is the TMDB?
Yeah.
Because they don't have any, they have business APIs, API for business, but there's nothing on their site that I see about an API for normal people.
It is. Yeah. It's an API for business, but you're doing it as one of the options there is to have a personal account.
This just says name, your email address, where are you located, company name, company URL, and describe what you're looking for. And it's a contact form.
I am currently on the free developer plan. Subscription details. I'm in the free developer plan.
With TM, themoviedb.org.
Themoviedb.org/subscription is the page that I'm looking at that's telling me my subscription things, but yes, I can, you know what? I would be happy to, who wrote this?
So you created an account with them, and once you have an account,
yes,
they have a section that talks about using the API.
Yes. I believe here, let me find who, cause I, you know, I was just given instructions, go do this. Let me think who wrote that. Was that today? If it's today.
Well, I can probably ask ChatGPT or something, but I just, if I wanted to use it.
Yeah.
Assume you did that with AI though.
Did what with AI?
Wrote the code.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
For the, so
yeah. Did you want
AI
to see it?
Already knows how to do it anyway.
Do you want to see it?
Sure.
Let's see. Video, share screen. Where's share screen? Oh, it's over here under share. Duh. Sharing is not turned on.
Allow all.
There we go. There we go. Here we go. You ready? This is the most beautiful UI you ever did see.
Is that the same framework that you used for Hochimal?
Yep.
Just a different template on top of it or something?
Yep. But yeah, so basically like name a show. Name any show. Don't care what it is. Name a show.
From.
So you look for it. There it is. It's right there. Because I've already added it to my list right here, it's already on my list. But if it wasn't, I could add. But right now I can update. So basically all I do is I rate per series. I don't do the whole season. Like, I'm not going to rate each individual season or whatever. I just give like kind of an overall rating. And I use that more just like a guide for discovering new things. You know what I'm saying? Like just, but other than that, that's what my ratings are. But here's the meat of it is over here. These are the streaming services. So if I click on a streaming service, like Apple TV is a good example. you can see that here's what I want to watch that is available right now. Right. So Maximum Pleasure Guaranteed, Star City, For All Mankind. You can see right here, I've watched four of five seasons. So it's the season five, season two of Your Friends and Neighbors, and Palm Royale, season two of Palm Royale. Here's things that I want to watch on Apple TV that have not come out yet. Silo has premieres in July. Ted Lasso, season four, premieres in August. Dark Matter premieres in August, and season two and season three of Severance premieres, hasn't been announced yet. And then these are things that I've completely watched and already rated, and they're just there to help figure out taste. But it's broken down by all of the streaming services. So as I think of things or see or people tell me about shows or whatever that I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting, then I can basically like type them in. And then for any of these shows that I look at, I can always get back to that page. So I can just click right there and it takes me to the detail page of that show. So if I'm watching the show, I have access to the cast and to episode summaries and all of those things. You can also find fandom there, so discussions and stuff like that. This is the TVD, you know, this is the TV TMDB page, but I link directly to that from this, right? So that way on my phone or whatever, I can tap on it and I can answer a question about a show that we're watching. I was like, who was that? And then it's like going like, oh, I don't know. Let me see if they're on the cast page. And then it's like, if they're not on the thumbnail, then well, they're on this cast page. And it's like, so then we can figure out who people are, whatever like that. So that's my little program. I call it Shows to Watch with a number two.
Nice.
The number two, Adam.
And that's written in .NET.
That is written in .NET. And no one in the chat room got to see that. So sorry.
But, yeah. Sorry, chat room.
Oh, actually, more importantly, no one listening to this episode got to hear it, but trust me, it was beautiful. It was the most beautiful, little
program. Is it packaged as an executable? Is it something that could be installed by someone else?
It's a website. It's a self-hosted web app. So if you, it's a .NET. So you run it and then you just get to it through the website. So you get to it, and if you ran it on your machine, you would get to it through localhost, you know, whatever. I'm using a Postgres database server over there that's on the network over there. And, but you can configure all those things if you want, I can add you to the GitHub repository if you want. It's a private GitHub repository, but if you want, I don't know who you are on GitHub. Let's find that. GitHub.
Who am I? Let's see, GitHub. Sign in. I have two-factor authentication.
I do this off this afternoon. You had a very late.
Adam Burns, UK.
Adam Burns, UK. I don't know how to find you on this. How do you find somebody on GitHub?
I don't know.
Must be a search. Can I search for people? Adam Burns, UK. Search. We did not match any repositories. Yeah, I know. Users. One. There you are. Adam Burns, UK.
Yeah.
You're giving the double thumbs up over there. I am.
Yeah.
I'm following you. So from there, you should be able to follow me back. And then I can go to my repository.
How do I follow people?
If you click on my name or whatever, it takes you to my profile page and there's a follow thing on it. But here we go. Let's see. Shows to watch.
No, I mean, like, how do I find out who's following me?
Oh, probably on your profile page. I'm trying to add you to this. Let's see.
I followed you.
Let's see. Contributors. I don't want that. I thought I figured this out the other, because I know that I gave somebody access to another one of my repositories. I wonder if you have to request it. Here, I'm going to give you a URL. This is fascinating. This is great content for those of you.
Well, they're all listening. Napping anyway.
No, I'm talking about this is the after
show. We've lost everyone.
Tony from Illinois is about to crash into a tree from falling asleep. Wake up, Tony. Wake up. No napping.
Tony, this is very important that I get access to this GitHub repository.
It's very
right now.
It's very important.
It says 404.
404?
This is not the web page you were looking for.
Wow. Well, when they say private, they mean private. Let's see. I can just ask Gemini how to do this, so let's just do that.
We can move on, or we can talk about something.
Share a repo on GitHub to a friend.
You can add a user, right?
Method one, public. Nope. Method two, invite as a collaborator. Yeah, navigate to the main page of the repository. Okay, I'm there. Click on the settings icon represented by the gear. Thank you for telling me that. I never would have figured it out otherwise, that there was a gear that meant settings. Let's see. Choose to watch private. Yes, I'm there. Where are you? Click on the settings icon. In the left sidebar, locate the access section and click collaborators.
Collaborators.
So the left. What is it? Left.
And add people.
I don't see that.
Yeah. When you click on collaborators on the right side.
I'm not seeing that. Oh, there it is.
It says collaborators and teams. And under that, it says manage access. And then there's a button that says add people.
Oh, my God, Gramps. I'm so confused right now. I've got it, though. I figured it
Tony,
out.
Tony, how you doing?
I figured it out.
How you
still
doing
there?
Right now?
You still there?
You good?
Just got it. I add people.
Then a box pops up.
Yep. Adam Burns, UK, right there. Yep. Add Adam Burns. Pending invite for Adam Burns. There you go. You're now the proud member of this private repo called Shows to Watch.
Where would I see that? Shared? Because it doesn't have a shared with me.
It's not just on your list of repos on your main page?
Looking.
Just go to your main page and click on repositories?
Nope.
And then it's... Then there's a repository tab, and you can just type in a name and start looking for it.
It's not in the list. Mm. What's it called?
Oh, you were invited. Look up in your little mail thing there, if unread notifications or whatever, because it says it's a pending invite for you.
Oh, accept.
There you go. Now
I'm in your repository.
Now in my repository, messing up my code. So
I still don't see it in my list.
Don't know.
Surely you can see the ones that you're a collaborator of.
I'm not a collaborator on anyone, so I don't know.
Well, I won't mess anything up. But I
would imagine you're just going to clone it and play with it on your own machine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to do a real quick thing here. This has been on the list for a while, but we'll close out with this.
You want to get
Figgy with it, Adam.
Okay.
As you know, Four Corners, Florida, where I live, is a Zone 9B.
Yes, of course.
Tropical zone.
Of course I know that.
It's very...
Tip of my tongue.
Very tropical where we live. Do you know what grows really well in Tropical Zone 9B?
Well, based on the title of this topic...
Yes.
I would assume...
Yep.
Figs.
A fig tree, Adam. A fig tree grows really well in Florida. They have been here since 1575.
My grandmother had a fig tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. In South Arkansas.
I'm considering a Celeste fig tree, which is a sweet and humidity resistant fig. There's also a brown turkey, LSU purple, LSU gold. And then if I were going to plant, it from root or whatever, it would, do it in the winter.
You know how figs are pollinated?
But the container grown, no, how are the figs pollinated?
A wasp.
Ooh.
Crawls up inside of it and dies.
Wow.
Is that
true?
So when you're eating, yeah.
I don't, and it's not that I don't believe you, it's just that I don't believe you. How are fig trees pollinated? Dead wasps? I don't.
It's true.
Is it? Where did you learn this?
It's common knowledge.
A female fig wasp crawls into the fig through a tiny opening. The ostiole, losing her wings in the process. She lays eggs in some of the internal flowers and pollinates others with pollen she carried from her birth fig. Then she dies inside.
Exactly.
The fig produces an enzyme called ficin that completely dissolves her body, recycling the nutrients. Her eggs hatch. The wingless males mate with the new females, chew exit holes, and die. And the newly mated females collect pollen and exit to find another fig.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when you eat a fig...
By the time you eat a ripe fig, the wasp body is fully dissolved by ficin. You're not eating wasp parts. Those crunchy bits are seeds and not wasp remains.
Yeah, but the wasp is there. The wasp has been dissolved, but it's there.
Most commercial figs sold in grocery stores are self-pollinating. They develop fruit without any wasp involvement at all. Common figs, Ficus carica, don't need wasps. It's mainly Smyrna figs and wild varieties that depend on this mutualism. So it's not all figs.
Well, so you better pick the one that doesn't have the dead wasps.
Do Celeste figs need wasps? Let's find out, Adam. Let's find out right now. It's very important. No, Celeste figs don't need wasps. They're a common fig variety and are parthenocarpic. They set fruit without pollination. No wasp required, no pollination required. That's true of most figs grown in the U.S. for home gardens and grocery stores. Brown Turkey, Chicago Hardy, LSU, and Celeste's are all self-fruitful.
Okay. But I was correct. There is a type of fig.
There is indeed a type of fig.
That has a wasp that flies up into it and dies.
T-I-L, Adam. Today I learned. Did not know that. Tony in Illinois, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you today, I guess, this evening.
You know,
I don't know if other Level 13
listeners probably feel bad.
Brian, it's been great to talk to you too, Brian.
If you're a Level 13 listener.
Yes.
You should text us or call us.
Yes.
And let us know.
Let us know.
Because we're just saying Tony, but it's got to be more than just Tony.
Like you could even call us and start your voicemail with, "Hey, this is Level 13," and we will wait until the Level 13 to play the phone call.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, we're gonna have to play that much of it.
Yeah.
So we know.
Yeah.
But.
All right, chat room. It's been a delight as always. Appreciate you being here on this warm
summer's eve,
the first day of summer, I believe is today, or is it the 21st? It's either today the 20th or tomorrow the 21st.
I don't know.
Happy first day of summer. Happy birthday, Gary, who already left.
Gary already left. He's like,
he might listen to Level 13. I don't know if he listens to Level 13. All right. Good night. Good night, Kathy Marshall. Good night, Auntie Scott.
Oops.
Good night.